The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now her hair is green. But Megan Rapinoe isn't any better looking, and she hasn't gotten any smarter since the last time we heard from her. But she should be happy today because she just won a really nice award.
And now it's time for The Jerk of the Week, starring John Steigerwald.
In case you've forgotten, Megan was the star of the U.S. women's soccer team. She's the most famous athlete to send a letter, along with 400 current and former Olympic professional collegiate athletes. They are all urging the NCAA not to prevent men from competing against women in sports. Of course, they call them transgender women. We know they're men. Rapinoe, who's married to the former WNBA star Sue Bird, apparently, belongs to the group that coordinated this letter. It's called Ally, A-L-L-Y. I never heard of it. But her separate letter said, and here's the quote, "Bans against trans athletes framed as protecting women's sports do not speak for us and do nothing to protect us. The time is now for the NCAA and the nationwide athletic community to speak up and affirm that sports should be for everyone, including transgender athletes," unquote. Yeah, well, sports should be for everyone. Nobody's saying they shouldn't be, but the stupidity and lack of awareness is stunning here. I did mention, I think, that Megan played for the U.S. women's soccer team. She and the idiots who sent the letters would have you believe that men don't have an advantage over women in sports. They think that you just have to say you're a woman and you're a woman. Even though the reason that there is a women's soccer team and a men's soccer team is because the world knows that men have a huge advantage over women when it comes to sports. And if the world didn't recognize that, and there was only one U.S. soccer team that included only the best soccer players in the country, there'd be no women on the team. And if that were the case, nobody would have ever heard of Megan Rapinoe or any of the female athletes in all the other sports who signed the letters. It's unbelievably stupid. And it would, and that would really be tragic, by the way, if that were the case, that nobody had ever heard of Megan Rapinoe, because today she wouldn't be the AM 1250 The Answer Jerk of the Week. And when we come back, there are lots of really stupid things being said and done by the government, including the state of Pennsylvania, about climate change. We're going to talk to H. Sterling Burnett of the Heartland Institute, and in our second half hour, more major signs that the big guy should be playing bingo at the senior citizens' home. Stick around. Anytime you see him out in public, it's frightening to think of Joe Biden still being president 4 weeks from now, much less 4 years from now. And that's just based on seeing how feeble and demented he is. But thinking about what he and the people who are pulling his strings will do if they get 4 more years in power is really scary, including when it comes to saving us all from climate change. H. Sterling Burnett is director of the Center on Climate and Environmental Policy at the Heartland Institute, and he joins us now. Sterling, thanks for coming on. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I didn't realize it had been since January since
wow.
I was on.
Wow. I'm going to have to fire some people.
Don't do that on my account.
Well, anyway, the Interior Secretary, Deb Haaland, I guess is how you pronounce her name, H-A-A-L-A-N-D, she announced a 5-year plan for offshore wind farms now. What could go wrong there?
Well, you know, they've been pushing this for, since Biden came to office, he wants to put up 30,000 megawatts, 30 gigawatts of offshore wind. What could go wrong? I don't know. A hurricane could blow through and knock them down. They could kill a lot of endangered species. They could jack up your electric power price rates along the East Coast, which is where he's planning a lot of them. You know, other than that, nothing could go wrong.
Well,
you know,
how you mentioned go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you that, you know, you mentioned the number of megawatts that they're looking for. How does that translate into the number of windmills we're going to be pleased to have to look at?
Oh, thousands of wind turbines. They haven't, some of them they don't even have the technology for, because he wants to build additional wind turbines using floating turbines, so they're not anchored to the floor. The whole point is, not a single one of them is necessary. There is not a single offshore wind turbine that's necessary. They're the second or first most expensive form of energy. Batteries are the only one that's even competitive cost-wise as far as how high the prices are. They're really good at raking in money for green, for, you know, crony capitalist green energy companies, most of them foreign, to take taxpayer dollars and ratepayer dollars. But if they really think wind and solar are the way to go, they could build it onshore. But it's a lot cheaper. It's still not as cheap as coal, natural gas, and nuclear, but, it's a lot cheaper than offshore wind. The only reason offshore wind has become a favorite is because they don't have to deal with property rights onshore. They can just go to Joe Biden's federal government. And he'll say, oh, I don't care if you kill endangered whales. We've been protecting since 1973. I don't care if you kill thousands upon thousands of sea mammals that are protected by the Marine Mammal Protection Act. I'm going to sign off. And then they do a cursory environmental impact statement where it signs off on it despite the damage to the whales. And they begin construction. They don't have to, you know, mess with the pesky property rights online. And they're just passing the cost. They're just passing the cost onto the ratepayer. At the same time, they're telling you wind and solar are cheaper than coal and natural gas.
Yeah.
Your rates are going up because they're not cheaper than coal and natural gas. And we know that because we can look at where they're building wind and solar, and their rates are rising faster than the states where they're sticking with coal and natural gas.
So the people who are now dependent upon wind turbines are, we can see that their bills are not any lower. Their electric bills are not being helped by that at all in the places.
Not just lower. They are higher. The states with the highest amounts of wind and solar have the highest rates, except Hawaii and Alaska, which are odd states because, well, you know, Hawaii's an island. It doesn't have a lot of natural resources or ability to get some things there. And Alaska, the same thing. But if you look at the states in the U.S., when you add wind and solar, you're adding cost to your ratepayers, despite the fact that we're told it's cheaper than the other sources. So you don't find the highest rates in Kentucky and West Virginia. You find them in California and on the East Coast, where they're bought into this wind and solar crap is cheaper.
Yeah, and I just wonder how many people are actually, what percentage of the population, I guess is a better way to put it, what percentage of the population is really aware of just how ugly and intimidating the wind turbines are until they see them? Because if you haven't seen them, and there, I'm sure there are huge parts of the country that where there are no wind turbines yet. And there are people who have never really had driven down the road and all of a sudden seen a wind turbine appear where there wasn't one, and to see how gigantic and ugly they are. So I wonder how much of a factor that is in people being maybe more passive about this than they should be.
The offshore ones they're talking about building are taller than the Statue of Liberty. On a clear day, you'll be able to see them 20 miles offshore. That's great for tourism. In Texas, we've got a lot of wind here in Texas, and we got a growing amount of solar in Texas because the government helps them out. But they don't build it in Dallas or Austin or Houston where they need the power. They build it far out in West Texas where, like you say, nobody sees it. So they don't understand how it's destroying viewsheds and ecosystems, how it endangers birds and other animals, and like I said, higher rates, and more importantly, you know, more important than cost, I worry a lot about my energy prices, but you know what I worry about more? Reliability. My refrigerator has to work.
Besides,
my air conditioner during the summer has to work. my lights have to come on when I flip the switch, my communication devices, whatever they are, whether it's the TV, the phone, they have to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if that's what I want to use them. Wind and solar can't do that. You're praying to the gods for a good stiff wind and sunlight, not rain like we have here in Dallas right now.
Well, they're bragging about having built an offshore wind industry from the ground. This is from their release about this plan, this five-year plan. They're bragging about having built an offshore wind industry from the ground up after years of delay from the previous administration. Now, it sounds like
think about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Think about that. Doesn't that sound like the old Soviet Union? We have a five-year plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we, the government, has built up the industry. Yeah, government create all sorts of industries. If they put enough taxpayer dollars into it and enforce enough mandates, that doesn't make it a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like
markets determine what's the best industries, where resources, where capital should flow, not government. When government does it, typically it's inefficient. It's something that couldn't compete otherwise, and that's precisely what they've done here. Is they've created an industry that couldn't compete without government mandates and support.
Yeah, it sounds like it wouldn't have happened with in a free market.
It certainly wouldn't have. Like I said, they even brag, we've got to have a five-year plan. This is the old Soviet five-year plan, and we know how well those things worked.
Now, they're talking about where they will lease wind turbines. I guess they will lease the areas just like they do with oil where you're allowed to build these things. So if this is going to be the next big thing, I would think that Exxon and Shell and whoever else is out there selling oil and making, refining oil into gasoline, they'd be jumping all over this and investing money in it. Are they?
Well, one of the oil companies has in the past, BP, but they got out of it because it was a money loser. Shell did it for a while, but they got out of it. Exxon's not. Exxon says we're an oil company.
So they're not
we're
involved
an energy
in
company.
It.
They're not involved in it as far as I know right now. Who is involved in it here is Dominion Energy, where the legislature is a wholly owned subsidiary of Dominion. So they passed rules that said locals can't block, can't sue to stop all sorts of the ancillary onshore activities that must go on for these wind turbines. And no matter the cost, Dominion gets to pass it on to ratepayers. Now, that's the only real sweetheart deal passed in New York and New Jersey and other places where they've done these things. They opened it up for bidding. And so companies, always foreign companies, everyone, except for Dominion, all the others are foreign companies. Orsted, I forget one of the others. They're the big ones, the big players. And these foreign companies are going to use a lot of foreign equipment to build these turbines. But guess what? They bid in. They bid for a price. Well, the cost of everything has gone up. Interest rates have gone up. Equipment costs have gone up. You've got supply chain issues. So their costs are rising, and they can't make a profit at the price they bid in. That was going to raise your rates. But even with the higher rates, they've decided they can't make a profit. And so now they're backing out and saying, you need to give us a new deal. You need to give us more money.
Amazing.
Honestly, that's going to probably be the Achilles heel for the Biden administration's plans is these companies can't build them unless you do what you did with Dominion and just say, it doesn't matter what it costs. We don't care what it costs. Build it and you'll get your money back.
Yeah. So in other words, the deal that they made sounded like a good deal in 2021, maybe until inflation kicked in and all the other economic issues. And so now it's just not good business and it's not an attractive thing.
No, they're, like I said, they're backing out. They've canceled. They've already, she's talking about leasing all these things. They've already leased. They leased. They opened up thousands of acres offshore, big areas off of New York, New Jersey, parts of Massachusetts and Maine, Virginia. They've already leased it. And all except for they're in Dominion, the companies are now backing out as fast as they can because they just can't build it and operate it at the price they bid in for.
And these places where you say that they've already leased it, if you're driving along the East Coast, are you going to be able to see these?
Well, you would if they got them built, but they're not getting them built.
Well,
the
saying,
companies are backing out.
Yeah, but if the spots
on clear days, yeah, on clear days, there's no question that you'd be able to see some of these turbines. Mm-hmm. And the lines come in. It's not like you can just have a turbine and not have it connected to the grid. Right. So you've got power lines along undersea, but then they've got to come on shore somewhere. You've got big power transfer stations that they got to build. And then you've got to have transmission lines running from those transfer stations to your power grid. I mean, that's what's happening in the West. Here in Texas, we build them all in the West. Well, okay, so nobody in Dallas or Austin sees them. But you know what they do see? The huge transmission lines that have to now be shipped from far west Texas to Austin and Dallas. They have to build all that infrastructure. And, of course, they lose power along those lines, so you're getting less power than is generated, delivered. It's a boondoggle. It's good for the companies that are building them. They're making money hand over fist. It's good for the politicians who go out and virtue signal and saying, I'm green. Like your governor, oh, we're going to do solar power, 50% solar power. I'm greener than thou. It's the only ones it's bad for is everybody else in the nation. Our consumers, our ratepayers, our taxpayers.
Yep. And they, and as I said, they haven't seen how ugly the windmills and the solar panels are unless they've been subjected to them. And they have no idea unless you've been around them. Because we have property up on Lake Erie, and there's talk about using Lake Erie, by the way, for these things. And the little town where our place is, they decided to go with a lot of wind turbines. And when you're driving down the road that you've driven down for all your life, a little road along the lake, and all of a sudden these windmills start popping up, it's like Godzilla. They're unbelievably ugly and intimidating. And until they're in your neighborhood, you have no idea. So anybody who thinks they want these things needs to take a little ride somewhere, because where I'm sitting right now, there are no windmills here in western Pennsylvania that I'm aware of. There might be one or two popped up somewhere, but there's no field full of windmills. And
No, you know where they are in Pennsylvania? Mountaintops.
Yeah, right.
They've cleared forest. They've cleared forest, carbon sinks. They always say, oh, we love trees because they suck up carbon. They've cleared forest to build wind turbines on mountaintops that only work 20 to 30% of the time.
Well, here in Pennsylvania, Governor Shapiro, and we're talking to Sterling Burnett of the Heartland Institute. I have a couple minutes left here. I wanted to make sure I get this in. Governor Shapiro was happy to announce a couple of days ago that half of the state's agencies will be running on solar power in a few years from 10 new solar plants around the state. How's that going to work out?
You're going to have the same problems you have everywhere else where they try these fiascos. You're going to have outages. You're going to have, if you love the service that government offices give you now, you're really going to love it after their power shuts down and you've been waiting in line for 40 minutes to get your license renewed. Because it turns out, I looked into it, Pittsburgh is the fifth cloudiest city in the nation.
Yep, I was going to mention that. Yep.
It is the fifth. That's a great place to let's have some solar panels up there in Pennsylvania where there's clouds all the time.
Yeah.
Really brilliant, genius ideas these guys have. You used to have a power system that was designed by engineers and functioned properly. Now you have a power system increasingly designed by politicians who aren't engineers, and you're having more and more breakdowns. California, they bragged just last week. Well, we had 15 whole minutes where almost the whole state was powered by solar. Well, my refrigerator can't just run for 15 minutes a day.
No.
My lights can't just operate for 15 minutes a day when the solar happens to work. And what we know about California is they have more blackouts and brownouts than any other state in the nation.
Yeah. Well, I have about a minute left. What you're not mentioning, because you're a bad guy, Sterling, is that this is all going to help prevent climate change. You didn't mention how much it's going to help the climate change when Pennsylvania has half of the state running on solar power. Isn't that going to cool the earth?
Look, it won't cool the earth. In fact, when Holland is asked before Congress how much their plans are going to prevent, how much warming it's going to prevent, she can't answer that question. But people have done calculations, and it's something like 0.00065 degrees 100 years from now. In other words, something that can't be measured by thermometers.
Right.
So it does nothing for the climate because, well, you know what? Even if you thought CO2 were causing dangerous climate change, you know who's pumping it out? Who's not shutting down coal plants? India. China, developing countries who want reliable. They want what we used to have, reliable energy.
They
want to
flip the switch and have the light come on.
That's right.
What a concept.
And so when we're huddling in the dark, freezing in the winter, sweltering in the summer with no lights to read by, going back to gas lamps, the climate won't be saved.
That'll be good. I'll be dead, so I won't affect me, but my grandkids will be, they can be safe and not have to worry about dying from whatever it is they're going to die from climate change. What a joke. Hey, Sterling, always great to have you on to clear this stuff up. I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Take care, sir. I appreciate you having me on again. Take care.
Okay, that's Sterling Burnett, and he's the director of the Center on Climate and Environmental Policy at the Heartland Institute. I'll be right back. Well, I'm glad we had Sterling Burnett on there to talk about the stupidity of the, first of all, the Pennsylvania plan affects us more directly, obviously. Shapiro wants to have the solar panels everywhere, and the wind turbines will be up on top of the mountains. But you need to, if you haven't been close to these things, and not just one, even if you just see one, as I said, our place up in Canada is in a small town. It's on Lake Erie. And Canada, as you know, is ridiculously woke. And Justin Trudeau is completely obsessed with climate change. And so the people up there have been really indoctrinated into this stuff. And as we said with Sterling, if you drive around here in Western PA, there's a big turbine up. If you go up 79 north up near Grove City, there's one, just one off the side of the road, off of 79 there, you can see pretty close to the road. And I don't know how that compares in size to the ones that around the place where we go up in Canada. But if you spend your whole life in an area and wake up one morning, or you go away for 6 months and you come back and you have five or six of those things scattered around your neighborhood, including one maybe, a few hundred yards from your house. And these places up there, it's a rural area, but there are homes and other businesses, things like just, civilization close to the road that these things are right on top of. They hover right over the top of people's homes. And that's the only thing you can see and feel when you're walking around are these gigantic propellers staring you in the face. They're unbelievably ugly and unbelievably intimidating. And the people who are opposed to this, the only way that you're going to get people to understand how ugly they are and how little you want them anywhere near your home is to be able to get some kind of an idea what it's going to look like. They need to come up with a way to do it digitally. And when these windmills are proposed for somewhere, opponents need to show somewhere, do ads showing exactly what it's going to look like for the people that once these things are put up in their neighborhood, how ugly and sickening they are. And and again, that would be one thing if it saved the planet, which it's not going to do, or helped your electric bills, which it's not going to do. And let me tell you, if it would really have to, for you to want to put up with these things anywhere near your home, you would hope to see a major decrease in your electric bill, believe me, to make it worthwhile. It's unbelievably ugly. So somewhere, somebody should be working on a way to show pictures. Once they designate an area of where these things are going to be, show a computer, do it with a computer. What's it called? CGI that they do in the movies? Yeah. I mean, make it look real. And you'll have people with pitchforks and torches outside of local government agencies if people see these things. Right now, it just sounds like a nice windmill. Who cares? I won't see it. Yeah, you will. And it won't help your electric bill. So anyway, I don't have a guest for this half hour, so you're going to have to put up with me babbling. But I have A couple of things here that are, I think are worth babbling about. The first thing is Joe Biden and his teleprompter. Now, I know by now you've seen or heard or both the soundbite where he is speaking to a group. I think it's some kind of a union group somewhere. It doesn't matter. It was, I think, 2 days ago. And he's reading his teleprompter, and he reads the directions on the teleprompter. I'll play it for you if in case you haven't heard it yet. Listen to, he uses the word pause here, and it's because on the teleprompter, and I'm guessing that it's in a parenthesis. I'm guessing, because if otherwise he should fire whoever wrote this stuff. But it's on the teleprompter, there should be a parenthesis, or it should be designated somehow that this is not what you're supposed to say. But he said it anyway. Listen.
And increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Four more years. Four more years. Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
So the teleprompter guy, whoever wrote the script for him, told him that, you know, you got to say four more years and then let them know that let the crowd know that it's time for them to start the chant. He says, four more years, pause. I don't even think it's possible to convey how bad that is. It seems like a minor thing. It is not a small thing. To me, that moment right there should have created a Goldwater moment. And if you know what a Goldwater moment is, when Richard Nixon, when Watergate was swirling around and there was talk of impeachment and he was fighting against it and he was going on TV and sweating bullets and saying he's not a crook and all that stuff was going on, there was one point where Barry Goldwater, a Republican senator, he made a trip over to the White House and he said, Richard, it's time to go. Mr. President, it's done. You did it. We can't do this anymore. And I'm 100% serious. Maybe it's because I spent my entire life reading a teleprompter. But it's not a small thing, because it is such a sign that this guy's brain is addled. He's not capable of focusing. It's just to do that. You're the president of the United States. Every day you go out and you speak to groups, or you speak on television to millions of people, and you use a teleprompter, and you're supposed to understand what you're doing out there. You're conveying thoughts, okay? This is a sign that he's in a fog. He's in a completely, I'm not trying to be funny, he's in a total fog. He doesn't know what he's doing. And that he's either too lazy, maybe because he just doesn't have the stamina, or he's too lazy or too demented to pre-read what he's about to say to a group of people. You know, read it on the way over in the limousine. Have them give you a script and on paper, and it shows you exactly what you're going to be saying on the teleprompter. He's either too lazy or too demented to be able to handle pre-reading the script, and either he does pre-read the script, or he's too addled, too much in a fog to remember what's in the script. Listen, I did TV for a million years. You do a sportscast, you write, and I made a point to write just about everything I ever said on TV. I didn't like somebody else writing for me, and so if I was going to be spewing it out on the teleprompter, I wanted it to be my words, my thoughts. And I can understand with him, it's different. There's people, you know, he's got staff, he's writing a script, but you read the script and you understand the topic that you're talking about. And you understand that if you understand it enough that if the teleprompter would go out, maybe because we're depending on windmills and you lose power and the teleprompter, you can't see it anymore. If you're doing a stupid sportscast on KDKA TV, you're supposed to be prepared to read, not read, but just say what it is you're out there to say without the help of the script and the teleprompter. He's not capable of doing that. And he's the president of the United... He's not a kid just out of college working at the WTOV in Steubenville and never, you know, only been working with a teleprompter for 20 minutes. He's the president of the United States. He's been doing this stuff for 50 years as a senator, and he can't handle it anymore. He can't read a teleprompter, and he can't differentiate between what is on the teleprompter that he's supposed to read and a direction of what he's supposed to do, as in pause and let the crowd chant. I don't know how much I think I saw somewhere that Joe Scarborough talked about this and didn't mention it. This is not getting, of course, if Donald Trump did something this stupid, it would be everywhere. But the non-conservative media doing their best to ignore this. But he's not able to comprehend the thoughts that he's supposed to be communicating unless it's written down and it's in front of him. That's why he has the note cards. He can't function. And then when he does have a script, he reads pause when it says to pause. What is going on here that people don't understand how bad this is? That's what I mean. It's a Goldwater moment. That's something that the staff, of course, the staff doesn't want to do this because they want this guy to be their puppet, and they're okay. They think they're getting away with it. They still think they can win the election by either stealing it or maybe people are stupid enough to vote for the guy. But they don't care. They're gonna trot him out there and have him do this stuff and then come back and do it again tomorrow. But that is something that if you are serious about being in charge of the campaign for a guy who wants to be president 4 years from now, still being president, and you see what he did the other day with that teleprompter where he was totally, completely fooled by the teleprompter in a fog. He couldn't do it. He wasn't able to pull it off to get the crowd to chant 4 more years. You go back, you put him in the limousine. You tell them, you know, they had a night. What do you want for dinner, Joe? And, you know, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Then you go have a meeting somewhere and somebody says, this guy has to go. What are we going to do here? He can't do it anymore. And again, I'm talking about this for several minutes and all it was him saying the word pause when it was supposed to be a direction. And it seems like a small thing. Nobody does this. Nobody who's ever worked with a teleprompter ever does that. They don't. And maintains a job for more than 20 seconds. And he did it. He did it. And it's been done. And it isn't the first time, by the way. He's done it multiple times. This is just the latest example of it. He is reading words and not conveying thoughts because he's not capable of conveying the thought unless he's reading it. And he blew it by saying the word pause. One more time on that, Mike. Can we hear it again?
And increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. 4 more years.
It's funny, but it's not. 4 more years. Pause. This is the president of the United States of America. He can't function in public. He's incapable of it. And again, this is April. It's still April, right? It's April of 2024. This guy who you just heard say pause is going to be president if he wins in 6 months from now, 5 months, whatever it is. He's going to be president 4 years from now. This guy. If he can't read a teleprompter today at the age of 81, what is he going to be doing at the age of 86? Because he's about to turn 82. He's going to be 86 when he's still president, and he's not going to be able to, he's going to be wearing diapers, and he's going to be playing bingo at a senior center somewhere. That's what he should be doing now. But that's who you're dealing with. And this guy, they think he should be president 4 years from now. One other thing before I go, this is again, the prompter's enough. That's the Goldwater moment. They should have gone back to the office. 20 minutes, they should have talked about it, and there should have been a news story the next day that Joe decided that he's tired and he's resigning. That's what should have happened. So here's what they're doing now. This is from Axios, which is a liberal outlet. The White House has taken steps to prevent the president from walking. He's walking differently now, okay? Biden changes walking routine to Marine One. This is from Axios. With aides walking between, this is why it matters. With aides walking between Biden and journalists' camera position outside the White House, the visual effect is to draw less attention to the 81-year-old's halting and stiff gait. Some Biden advisors have told Axios they're concerned that videos, have you seen Biden walking to the helicopter? They're concerned that videos of Biden walking and shuffling alone, especially across the grass, have highlighted his age. Weeks ago, the president told aides that he'd prefer a less formal approach, a White House official told Axios. He suggested that they walk with him. So what's happening now? Senior aides, such as Deputy Chiefs of Staff Bruce Reed and Annie Tomasini, and close advisor Mike Donilon are among those who've walked with the president across the lawn to and from the helicopter. So now when you see him walking to the helicopter, instead of doing it majestically, as you're supposed to do if you're a president of the United States, he's walking with someone walking on his outside so that the blood comes between him and the camera's view so that they can't see how bad he looks when he walks. This is the president of the United States. Pause. So I'm walking through the house this morning, and ABC happened to be on the TV, and it was the beginning of the Tamron Hall show. Okay, she's a really impressive woman. I couldn't stand to watch the show for 30 seconds. It's just not my kind of show, but she's really good at it. She's really impressive, great looking, everything. Does a really good job. So she was really excited, and the next thing I know, I hear the crowd cheering, and she's introducing four drag queens. And I've seen bits and pieces of the show, the same way I did today, walking through the house over time. And I've never seen her more excited about a guest or guests. She was so thrilled about these four hideous drag queens that she had coming out on stage. And the crowd was going insane, smiling, jumping up and down. They thought it was just wonderful. So my wife was there. I said, what is going on? What am I missing? Who likes this? Who finds this entertaining? When did this happen? Why do I have to see this? So that's one thing. So then I come across this before I come to work today. A Los Angeles high school will be hosting a drag queen version of the World Series. According to the event's website, Fairfax High School is set to host the seventh annual Drag Queen World Series on Saturday, April 27th, pitting two drag queen groups, the Los Angeles Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and the West Hollywood Cheerleaders, against each other. That's according to the Drag Queen World Series website. The event will be hosted by Life Group LA in partnership with the Fairfax High School Alumni Association and the school's Gay Straight Alliance group. Okay? This is a baseball game, softball, whatever it is. Drag queens, sponsored by the high school. I'm going to pause again, and then I'm going to say, we're doomed. Talk to you Monday.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.